Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here on yet another episode as we break into 2024, believe it or not. And if you've been following the goals of the FSHD Society, we are getting closer and closer to what we hope will be treatments, or could it be cures, by 2025. So if you're like me, you're thinking we're in the home stretch. And this is where our final push to get to the finish line, we hope, or beyond it, or better treatments even past 2025. I think that we just keep working forward. So happy new year to everybody. I hope you had a great holiday season. Whatever your holiday you celebrate is, I hope you celebrated it well. And you came out the other side happier, better, stronger, refreshed as we jump into the new year. I am tired, but that's okay, because that's just how life is. And I'm excited at the same time, because like a lot of things that we do on this radio show, we meet great people. And today is one of those great people. I'll describe later how we got to connect here with our guest, but she's a mother, daughter, wife, you know, professional person living with FSHD, like so many of us. She's a great writer. She has a blog that we're going to definitely talk about as well. It's one of the highlights of this episode. We welcome in Chelsea Moeller. Hello, Chelsea. Thanks for being here, taking the time to chat with us today on our first episode of the year.
What an honor. What an honor. It really is a pleasure to be here, Tim. Thanks so much for inviting me to have this conversation and to connect further with the FSHD community.
And that is something that seems like you jumped right into. You know, you connect with the community, with the people, with FSHD and so forth through your writing, through your blog. But backing up, you know, I ask a lot of people that come on the show, you know, what's your FSHD story, is kind of how I've titled it. You know, when did it start? When did, like, the noticing changing in your body and so forth? And of course, the journey through diagnosis.
Yeah. I others may be able to relate to this. I feel like I started to notice some physical impacts a couple of years before I was diagnosed, which is in 2012 was when I got the official diagnosis. So in the years leading up to that, the big tip off was that I couldn't stand on my tiptoes anymore. Oh, I had this habit of, like, if I got up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom or something like that, I would, like, tiptoe my way across the floor. And one night I just realized that I couldn't do it. Of course, I, like, at that point in time, I was really active. I was doing a lot of kickboxing classes. I was in better shape than I'd ever been in my life. So I just thought that I was very athletic and that I had some sort of sports injury. That really was my mindset at the time. And that's how people pursued an answer in the medical field. Everybody was kind of, like, looking at these one-off circumstances with my body, like my calves and not being able to stand on my tiptoes, my right shoulder, which had some winging and had some limitation, range of motion limitation. So people thought, you know, is it rotator cuff issues? Do we have compartment syndrome? Is there a vitamin B deficiency at play here? I, over the course of 2 years, probably saw about 12 specialists in our local area. I had, you know, a lot of tests done. I had a lot of tests ordered that were then not conducted because physicians had differing opinions, which was really an interesting, just interesting. I think that a big part of my journey with FSH has been understanding and really truly understanding that our folks in the medical field are human. You know, they know what they know. They apply their lenses as they apply them. They've been exposed to what they've been exposed to. And the person, it was a sports medicine doc that finally worked with me for a very long time and finally said, we're not taking the right approach. This is systemic. You know, people are looking at this piece or this piece. They're not looking at all of it together. And then he would say to me, it's still today. He's like, common things are common. Chelsea, this is not common. We need to send you somewhere else. So I am so thankful to him for recognizing what he didn't know and being willing to say, we've got to send you somewhere else. And I did. I went to Boston. I went to Brigham and Women's and connected with someone there. And it literally took them about 5 minutes to
really
visual exam to tell me exactly what was going on. And then it was confirmed by a blood test.
Yeah. So within those 5 minutes, and are they coming right back to you and saying, we think it's this? Were the words muscular dystrophy used?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, and I can look back on it and smile now. There in that moment, I don't think that he understood, the physician I was working with, the specialist. Oh, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. It did two things for me. I don't think he understood what he was handing me. No one had said anything or speculated that it was a progressive condition, let alone one that didn't have any solutions. Right. So I think he didn't realize. And at the same time, it put into perspective for me, which I wouldn't appreciate until quite a while later, that my situation was very mild compared to what he sees on a daily basis. So, you know, that's a silver lining. Like, I was still in very good shape. Not being able to walk on my tiptoes and fully participate in my kickboxing class that started the whole thing. So I was not, I wasn't a dire case at that point, but he relayed it very casually. And he may remember me forever based on the way that I responded, because I was just beside myself. I mean, it was really life altering. You've gotten the news before, you know, it's.
Well, yeah, right. Yeah. Right. And I think I always ask, because I do find it interesting when there's the parallels, and some cases there isn't. But I've always found that, you know, this disease is so like science driven. The conversation about it's science driven. Mm-hmm. There's another podcast about FSHD, very science driven. Mm-hmm. It's like that's great. Be science driven. I'm about people. Mm-hmm. And the science is within us, and like what is happening to us. And then we have to respond to that. And then leave a doctor's office after diagnosis and act like, I mean, I guess like nothing's wrong to some degree, because I actually had to convince myself, like, Tim, you have not changed from the time you walked in and out, really. I mean, physically you haven't. Nothing has like been altered or changed, or, you know, this is a slow moving thing. And tried to search for the positives. I mean, did you have that kind of response at some point to try to
absolutely
wrap your head around it?
Yeah. I think I even in a blog post was like, nothing and everything changed in an instant.
Wow.
You know, the way that I think about my life from that moment forward, I filter through another lens that a lot of people don't have to. And that's okay. We adjust to that. We learn how to do that. Mm-hmm. But it is this very surreal sort of situation where no, nothing does change overnight. But you're aware it's going to, and
oh, yeah.
then it is, you know, I've used before, there's a blog coming about this, but that, the adage about the frog in the pot and the water is warming up, but so slowly the frog doesn't even realize until he's boiled, you know, like it's almost, it's like, okay, it's happening, and it's not, I'm not going to wake up someday and instantly not be able to walk. It will be a slow progression.
Yeah. But I don't know if that's supposed to make us feel better. It just makes us feel, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
what
it's
do you do with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you think then, within the sense, you know, some people aggressively attack it. I said, like, my choice was to be a little loud about it. And then I got very loud about it, telling people all the way to this day. I mean, I coach a lot of kids. I mean, a lot of new families. And they'll ask me, because I'm like limping along literally in like a practice. Oh, are you okay? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. It's just my muscular dystrophy. I mean, it's like, I almost just say it like, it's like, oh, it's just my cough. It's just my cold. It's no big deal. You know? Yeah. Oh, and they kind of shock, like, what? And I go, oh, yeah. Yeah. Is it painful? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's painful. Mm-hmm. And I would say me and pain are like best friends. You know, it gives me touch every day. It reminds me it's here. You know, we walk together. And it is what it is. I mean, there's nothing you can change, so you might as well embrace it to some degree. And then there's the people that have the denial side, you know, but do you think that that denial gets like a bad rap?
Yes. I leaned hard into denial right after I was diagnosed. I mean, I did all of the emotional, there's like a cage match with myself, you know, and I was really angry. I was really angry at my body. I thought, you know, you're my person, body, and you have betrayed me. Like this, I've lived my years, and now this has been with me all along, and I'm just finding out about it. And as a, I don't know, a self-proclaimed, and I'm not even dogging on this, but I'm a type A. So to get a condition that there is absolutely nothing you can do, or very little. There's little you can do. Increasingly, there are things we can do, which is really wonderful. But at the time, this is, you know, over a decade ago.
There was nothing then.
Yeah, there was nothing. So I just chose, I didn't want to see my future. See my future in others who were in the community. I didn't want to think about all the hard choices that were ahead of me. And it was also still sort of surreal. I was very able at that point. I was just starting to catch my toes on things and trip. You know, I was just starting to kind of understand what some of the physical ramifications were going to be. So it was still sort of, I could other it, I could put it over here. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want it to be the, you know, my introduction. I didn't want it to define me or the decisions that I made to the extent that it didn't have to. And denial serves. I think that it does serve a purpose for a time. And I did that for my time. And then there was a point at which I realized, you know, this is happening. And your body and the way that you move through the world are going to tell this story, whether you're ready or not. So you can participate, you know, and you could, I mean, one could say that this is how I have sort of taken control of the situation, is I get to help people understand what it is to live with this condition and help them understand and invite them into my reality and the reality of others if they want to know.
Sure. I suppose. You're right. I kind of sometimes jam it, down someone's throat real quick. Like I just explained, like, I know you weren't expecting this, but hey, this is what this is. Like I'm not gonna go, oh yeah, I'm fine, and then kind of blow it off. But so then I usually ask too, when it comes to family, part one of the question is what was their reaction? How did they take the news? And then two, has it been in your family? Is this something that's been passed, or are you the first?
As far as how they reacted, there was disbelief. I mean, it was just like, what? You know, like that wasn't on anyone's radar. And I think there's, you know, there's hearing news and then there's absorbing news, you know. And I think people heard and were like, well, that makes no sense. You know, how can that be? We don't know. And we didn't know anything about it at that point. And also, one of the pieces of guidance that my specialist gave me when he diagnosed me was just like, don't Google it. Basically, like, you don't want to know. You don't want to
Go
know. And
Dr.
it's
Google.
right. Yes. It will take you to the worst case scenario. So just don't put yourself through that. I think it was well intended, but all it did was, you know.
Make you go to Google. It's kind of like saying, don't think about a pig, don't think about a pig, and then that's all you do.
Well, I mean, where else was it? I mean, I
Where
now
else are you
where else
going
you would get information. But I think there was shock and there was disbelief. Same for the specialist, the sports medicine specialist I was working with. He was just like, could not believe it.
Wow.
And then there was this sort of like slow reckoning, you know, kind of a, and then my mom, and she did stall because she'd been having some manifestations that could be attributed, now that we knew, to the progression. But she was did not want to be did, didn't want to get tested. She stalled on that. But eventually she was tested and she does have it. And we assume that my grandmother, her mom, had it. You know, she's passed away, but in looking at particularly the latter years of her life, there are a lot of things where you're like, yeah, that looks awfully familiar. Which is tricky because I think FSH can manifest like aging and it's hard to tease out. So,
Totally. I think I was told you age faster. And then told me like, it's no big deal. You just age faster.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just nuts. And my dog is here and joining
He's
us.
Cute.
Yeah.
Welcome.
I've tried to lock the door. It makes it worse.
Yeah.
So,
Work buddies are great.
So your mom though, this ties right in then, right? You're here because your mom reached out, to our email box for the FSHD show here. And it was awesome. I mean, she was totally your advocate. She's like, you should really have Chelsea on. She has this amazing blog. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, let's do that. And which I love for all those listening out there and watching.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Like you have people that think would be a great guest to have on. It could be your friend. It could be a family member, someone you met. I don't know. But by all means, like send them our way. We really want to leave no rock unturned. Like we want to find everybody we can that wants to share their story. So that's kind of our new mission and what I can sense is coming with the show here in 2024. So with that being said, your mom's a big advocate to be on there, but she did talk about why, and that was because of the blog. So then when did that start? When did the start of Honestly FSHD begin?
Yep. Thanks, Mom, first.
Second,
I was going back and I was looking at the different entries. It was in the spring of 2021.
Okay.
So almost 3 years, 2.5 years, and which is sad when I look at it because there are like 10 entries on this thing, which is just to say that, and I didn't even write them all. My wonderful husband has written a couple of them.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah.
They're So many entries in draft, like that. I didn't quite, but this is, like you said, we were chatting earlier, it's time consuming and this matters to me. So it is, I have given myself rules around how many times I can edit these things before I post them so that I'm not beholden to perfection, but it does take time and it is an emotional process. So it's exhausting in the best way to kind of, put some of this to page.
Yeah.
It started, I remember where I was sitting when I pushed the first post to publish and I put it out on all the social media platforms that I'm a part of. And I was sitting in Barnes and Noble and I remember thinking, this is going to change something.
Yeah.
Because you're inviting people into your situation, your reality.
You're going public.
You're going public. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And
I don't know if you ever get this, and I still don't, I'm not quite sure how I feel about it when people are like, oh, you can't even tell.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I'm not sure how to feel about that because it is.
I've gotten that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you are living it and you're like, it is an undercurrent of absolutely everything. Everything, every step that I take, every decision that I make, how I get to where I'm going, like it is present for me all the time. That's great. I don't want anyone else to feel burdened by it. Absolutely. But there is this thing to how it does impact every aspect of our lives and our day. So to then be like, oh, I can't even tell. It's like, am I sure if I'm supposed to be proud of that or feel accomplished? Or kind of sad that I'm not a bigger advocate, which, is becoming more of my mission.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's kind of how it started was I recognized, and it was during the pandemic. So I also had sort of the relative safety of people are not out. I'm really not going
to
run
They're
into
not coming
many
to find
people
you.
Soon. Yeah.
Yeah. We're all trying to stay away from each other. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I had the courage of being somewhat anonymous, at least from the public, like out and about vantage point. So, but that's why I started. I was like, this is, I am becoming more reliant. I'm becoming more affected. I want people to understand and not make assumptions. When you don't provide information, people fill in their own story. And I thought, I can help people understand. I can help educate people. And I can also process this for myself while I'm at it.
That's true. Then it looks like I was back in June of that year that you're talking about, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do invite people to follow it. I follow it now, read it. Because it is, it's like digestible. It's, relatable.
Mm-hmm.
You speak right to the heart of this, of the topic or the thing that maybe inspired you.
Mm-hmm.
So on that first, episode post, why did you choose then? And why did you choose like you know, because from the time you were diagnosed to when you made the first post, right? Mm-hmm. How much time was that, do you think?
It was about 10 years.
Yeah.
About 10 years. And like,
that just made the mark. Was there something that like kind of pushed you to go, yep, now I'm going to?
I'm starting to have trouble climbing stairs. Like I was starting to, like there were things that I was not going to be able to avoid. Mm-hmm. Like I was starting to go to meetings where there was only a stairway up to the meeting space. And I would think like, okay.
You gotta strategize.
And I don't want anybody to be stuck behind me. So I either got to be like way first there. And it is that piece of like, I'm heading into a meeting, a work meeting. I do not want to hand over, feel like I need to hand over some very personal, vulnerable explanation about myself just to get to my meeting. You know, I was like, I don't want to do it. Yeah. So it was, but I was encountering those sort of situations more and more often. And I thought, this is becoming a real burden to me. Like I feel it's not a secret, and yet it is absolutely something that I do not want to talk about unless I absolutely have to. Yeah. And that was starting to become more exhausting to me than just taking, like stepping into it and saying, okay, this is what's going on, you know? And if you care to know, here's my reality. Yeah. Yeah.
And a certain phrase kind of stuck out to me because there's a picture of you getting the AFO on, which mm-hmm. I have to wear one now too. Like I couldn't deny the drop foot anymore. And I'm like, on it. I avoided it as long as I could. Mm-hmm. And you say, you know, we have more or less, you know, tools and things we use to duct tape our body together. Mm-hmm. I chuckled out loud. I'm like, gosh, that is like spot on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have fixed multiple, many things in my house, at least for now, this will work, you know,
right.
The duct tape. Mm-hmm. That's and throughout that post and others, you have a very good way of using very, you know, matter of fact ways or like relatable terms. Like I got that right away. I'm like, yeah. Oh, that is spot on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think anyone in our situation probably would, you know, we've done the like, all right, I'm strapping on the AFOs and finding shoes that they'll fit into that make me feel somewhat like a version of myself. I'm putting on shoulder bracing or I'm, you know, it runs the gamut. It runs the gamut.
But what was great about the word choice and others you've used in the post, to me, that kind of phrase, it makes it with someone that doesn't know, mm-hmm. know a little more.
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense. Like I've fixed up with duct tape.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you just try to just adapt and got it. You know, like, okay, I can kind of understand that.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, that's
I think
great.
That's what I liked about it.
Yeah.
It was like these crossover terms.
Mm-hmm.
Someone
mm-hmm.
from the outside that doesn't have the disease could kind of go, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So I can kind of relate to some degree of what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's great. It's good to hear. That is the trying to translate the experience a little bit. So that's nice.
Well, of course. I mean, you're a good writer. I mean,
thank you. I appreciate that.
And then you've done some work too with like Dyne. I know I've worked with them a little bit too. Molly.
Yes, Molly.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. What a great person. Great personality. It's good to have her in our corner and so many. There's multiple types of diseases that they're trying to attack, including ours.
Yeah.
So talk about that day. I think it was like a family day that you were involved with them, right?
Yeah. It was Rare Disease Day, I think in 2022. It's coming right back up February 3rd, I think. And me and my daughter are going down along with a couple of friends that are, you know, embedded in our support system at this point. And so that day, it really was one of the first opportunities that I had to sort of step forward in a public forum and talk about the experience a little bit. And I was part of a panel. Dyne did a fabulous job. It really was. What I really love, and this kind of speaks to something you talked about earlier, is this is about people. This work is about people. The science is critical, and it is the key to our, you know, nipping this thing in the bud, making it something that nobody needs to worry about in the future, which is amazing. We are a stone's throw. It's incredible what's happened in even just the last few years. Dyne's approach to this is they bring their employees and their employees' families together to meet patients and their families to keep them focused. It's kind of like a True North exercise, like every day, ground yourself in these realities, because these are the lives that you're changing, you know, and hey, doesn't it look familiar? You've got a
Yeah.
daughter, you know, like you've got, you know, you can probably relate to this in so many ways. These folks wish that they could do X, Y, or Z too with their kids or their parents or their whatever. So I really admire that they take the time and put in the effort to create this familiarity. And so it's not just data.
Yeah.
They're people, their realities. And it was a lovely experience.
Nice. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. The interactions I've had with that group of that company and the people around it have been, there's nothing short of amazing, and it's their culture. You know, mm-hmm. I'm when it comes to, you know, culture in my house and in the teams I coach, it's not just a word. It's like something that you have to live, and it feels like whatever they're doing there is working. And like that culture seems to go right through all of them.
Yeah. Yep, agreed.
Yeah, they're great. The last post you had, and that was recently, it was just a couple of days ago, whenever this episode of this airs, but that one struck me well too, because it was about, you know, you're taking your kids to practice. In your case, your daughter goes to soccer. It sounded like the soccer has a part of the time the parents interact with their player, which is neat.
I think that's cool. Great.
Yeah. And I immediately thought to myself, yeah, I've kind of been there. Like when we're running late, that was where your kind of story lived of like, you know, there's another family running in. You probably can't run in and you can't, you know, then you can't participate in these things. And then your daughter feels like, you know, what's going on? You know, it hits her life when you don't expect it. That's what made me think of this question. And the best way I can phrase it is like, you know, we get diagnosed, we know this because something's gonna happen to our body. There's other things we might not see that, you know, my doctor would say, your FSHD itself might not get you. That's what his term was, get you. But something else, you know, the FSHD cause a breakdown in something that might. And then he ended with, or you could get hit by a bus. You know, don't worry about it. You know, but in this case, like there's these things you didn't expect because you just like, oh yeah, that is going to affect that. Mm-hmm. So when that was happening, you know, during that practice, can't participate, it affects your daughter. Is that maybe one of those things like you didn't see coming?
Oh, well, like parenthood is the hardest, best job without any other complications on top of it.
Right.
And I think, yeah, I would say at each new age and stage of development for her, we're encountering new things. And part of the last post was her awareness is growing while my strength is declining.
Yep.
So she has been aware, like this has been her normal. She's our only kiddo. She will be because of FSHD. We've made that family planning decision.
Choice.
It was just you know, it's a new lens. You got to look at everything
Absolutely.
Through the new lens once you have it. So I think that she's been used to how I've been affected, which has been fairly minimal. I wear AFOs of both feet. And I can't, you know, I'm starting to have trouble with stairs, but this is kind of like she's been exposed to this. She's used to this. As she becomes more active and more aware, she's starting to connect those dots and be honest about them, that it is disappointing. And it's, you know, I think the lovely thing is that she's not like, you are doing this to me. She's like, she gets it. She's like, this is hard for everybody.
Yeah.
And she's being, and I think I love it because I think her honesty is an invitation for me to be honest too, of like, yeah, this is hard, you know, and it doesn't feel good for mama either. And that these conversations are going to get harder because I'm going to decline more. She's going to become more active. I'm going to be further isolated from a lot of the things that she wants to pursue. And I never want her, like my circumstances, to limit what she goes for in life, you know? So I think that is a two-part thing of like, I'm not somebody who can, I have to feel every emotion. I've got to like trudge through it and like, you know, my mom is very good. She's like, okay, I know that there's nothing productive about this little like wallowing in this little pity party. So I'm just going to like jump over to here to where I'm okay. And I'm like, oh no, like I'm army crawling through the sludge. I am like, I'm feeling every ounce of this. Yeah. It sucks. Like I'm very human in that way. And then I get to the place where I'm like, okay, I've reckoned with this. I've wrestled with it. I'm good. The bummer about FSH is like, that is a relentless thing because you're always experiencing some sort of setback. So you kind of are like kind of trudging, you lose yourself a little bit if you're not careful. True. But I think that she and I will have to have this ongoing conversation about how I can be present for her and how I want her to go for anything her heart desires, regardless of what my participation in it looks like.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's true. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I've always lived with this like naive assumption that, well, I am where I am, and I'm sure by next year I will be. But there's many, you know, points in a day, even if it's just simply just walking my dog. And then by the time I get back to my driveway, I'm like, I made it one more day. I needed one more walk. This was good. Or when you lay down, I made it through. Nothing really drastically changed today with me. We're good.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right. Sometimes it's steady. Sometimes it takes a break a little bit on you. And then all of a sudden things speed up for the young people affected by this disease. It is awful fast. And that's scary within itself. And, you know, I respect your decision. Of course, because it's yours and your family's of having one child. And then what are we doing from here? Making that decision. Mm-hmm. Kudos to you guys for talking that out and knowing what you're going to do. I think that's something that shouldn't be overlooked in this conversation. Like, please, people, have that conversation, whatever your outcome is with it.
Yeah.
Have the conversation. That's always what I like to say. We had our two boys before I was diagnosed. Okay. We already passed the point that we were like, okay, well, you don't want to be outnumbered, so we're just going with two.
That was that,
right?
Yeah.
So
you
have the conversations, and I'm kind of glad that you brought that up. I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about was, you know, your participation in the Fulcrum Redux 4 trial. It was phase two, you told me before we hit record.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that experience, and would you encourage others to be a part of something like that?
Yeah. So, and my trial participation is ongoing. So I'm now in the open label phase, which is really remarkable. The neatest thing about this trial, there were 80 patients worldwide, and my mom and I are both in it.
Wow.
So we were two of the 80. And of course, it's all based on nameless data, you know, your eligibility and your ability. So, I mean, it was just such a neat thing. This was both of our first step into like, okay, here we go. What can we do? When it doesn't feel like there's a lot that you can do, what can we do? So we both got enrolled in the phase two of the trial, and it went through the pandemic. I was so amazed and so thankful. Fulcrum did a fabulous job of making it work. I had blood draws done in my backyard. There was like medication delivered to my home and like cryogenic looking ice pack boxes. You know, I mean, they really did. They did an amazing job to not stop progress and make it feel safe during a very unsafe feeling time. You know, they were committed to the outcomes and not disrupting the process. So kudos to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a fabulous experience. I think I'm in the part now where I go down every 3 months and kind of check in with Kat and Dr. Hayward. And, you know, they're kind of like my crew at this point. I know them well. I was looking forward to seeing them, and it's a very light lift at this point. I had done, you know, muscle biopsies, which is not part of phase three. Congratulations, phase three people, because that's not fun. Although, you know, I understood why they needed to do it at the beginning. And they do like the reachable workspace. So I did all of those things. And now it's just kind of a check-in to see how I'm doing, how I'm maintaining and all that kind of stuff. I would absolutely encourage people in particular, because there are several trials coming online, and we need as many people who are willing to participate in them to do it, because that's how we're going to make progress faster. I was just talking to Dr. Hayward on my last visit, which was just a couple of weeks ago, and she's like, are we going to have enough people? You know, are we going to have enough patients to fill these trials? And that is up to us. You know, that's up to us and people being willing to step up. I say that knowing that this particular trial felt pretty low risk. You know, that the drug had already been approved for safety in something else. So it was not, I mean, I know everybody should assess the risk and assess their logistical ability to participate in these things, which is where I think that some of these companies are going to need to get creative to sort of meet people where they're at, which I hope we can do that. You know, when we.
Yeah, I definitely think it's possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's exciting. That to me is very exciting.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing is, because you go back to when you were diagnosed, you said, you know, many years ago, just like myself, it's like, I mean, and even then there wasn't a lot of progress. And then going, like when Dan Perez started, you know, the FSHD Society, and he was going in front of, you know, the government and saying, hey, we need this to be recognized and this and that. And you think how far all that has come. And then other groups, you know, FSHD Global and so forth in Canada now gets involved. And then all the conferences and just the push over even just the last decade has been pretty remarkable. Feels like it's getting more and more momentum, and there's more pharmaceutical companies trying to get involved, which is also exciting because, you know, the more darts we throw, right? Let's hope some stick right where we want. And it would be awesome if we had choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be great as well. And then maybe make it affordable and so forth. So yeah, there is a lot of things on the horizon that I think are exciting. And you, in fact, you were a part of it. That's part of history. So thank you for doing that. You know, from someone just from our community that I tried, folks, I did. And it was like, oh, it's all full. I'm like, oh, the hell.
It was a real honor. Yeah, yeah. It was an honor to be part of it.
And as we close up this segment, Chelsea, like the big question I'd like to ask people too, like kind of the going off, walk off music, so to speak, is, you know, if someone's recently diagnosed, advice, what kind of guidance would you give them if they were, you know, right in front of you, like, hey, I just had this news. I know you have it. I mean, you have a blog. I mean, this could happen. People could respond to you. Maybe they have and said, you know, I found your blog. I've been recently diagnosed. What's the best advice you think you could give them?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think what I needed to hear when I was diagnosed that I didn't was some acknowledgement that, not that it's, I don't want to say it's not okay, but just it's okay that this feels really sad and really hard, and that to kind of let yourself grieve all of the things that you aren't even aware of that you might be grieving, you know? Like I reached out to somebody in the FSHD realm shortly after I was diagnosed, and very kindly and with good intent, they responded and said, you know, just let yourself embrace a slower pace and just, you know, like that. And I thought, no, you know, I was
not you. Yeah.
Not me, but also like, can we acknowledge that this is devastating? Like in this moment, this changes and nothing and everything changes.
Yeah.
And that's a hard intersection. So I think just to let people know it's okay to not be okay in that first little while. And it may take some time to come to terms with this, but that there is more to be excited about than not in the future of this thing. And that so much progress is being made, but there will be times when it just hurts and it's sad and it's hard, and that is okay. You know, that's okay. And then you got to kind of dust yourself off and move forward. And I think that really is what the blog for me is about. I was in rereading it. I was actually relieved that it didn't come across more as like a sob story, because that's not what it is. It is a recognition that this does infiltrate every aspect of our lives. And you got a perspective take, and you've got to be willing to just, like, for me, I have to sit with how it hurts. And then I have to decide that that's not a place I'm going to live, but I can acknowledge that it's there. And now I'm going to get up and I'm going to move on and move forward.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's great advice. And I look forward to seeing more of your posts. I was excited that there was one, that new one right before we went on. I don't know if that was on purpose. Good job.
Sure. Yeah.
And it was sports related. Was like, good motivation. I can totally get this. Yeah. And I implore everybody to do that. You know, it's honestly FSHD. You can find it out there, subscribe to it, support Chelsea and what she's doing. She's supporting our community. Thanks again, Chelsea, for being here, spending some time. Thank you to your mom for getting you for having you connect with me. I appreciate that as well. And hopefully we'll connect again in the future.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much, Tim.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's the story, folks, with honestly FSHD. And let's go through a couple things here and kind of close up shop. And the FSHD Society has great things going on in the community. Always want to plug their calendar for you, making sure you're checking out your local chapters, all the local community type things that you can find locally near you, or maybe within your state is great. But if you don't have one of those resources to find, there are so many other groups that attack different parts of this disease and how it affects our lives. caregivers, sharegivers, so forth. Our all those things are on fshsociety.org, and visit the calendar page there, as well as the news and notes and so forth. Going back a little bit kind of to my final thoughts on this, and then I want to touch base before we close up of what 2024 might look like here, at least in regards to this form of broadcast or this podcast, is, you know, honestly, FSHD, I wish I would have found it in our earlier posts early and then followed it along, caught up on all of them. And they are so relatable and so about life, and it has FSHD in, you know, within the stories. I really can't say enough to not just find, honestly, FSHD, read it, follow it, use it as something that kind of helps you connect with someone else in our community, but find other things that are similar. You know, find other podcasts, find, you know, blogs, find articles, be a part of it. And I think it does help if you're recently diagnosed or you're not. It's like we have to cope with it. You can't just completely ignore it. I guess, as we talked about in this episode, you know, denying it, denial is not the worst thing for a while, but I guess just don't live there too long. And I think the honestly FSHD, you know, blog is a tool that helps kind of you get out of that funk, so to speak. And then in regards to 2024, I'm excited. This was our first episode. I was so excited to have Chelsea on, and we're always looking for new guests. As we've had a lot of guests on this program that I've had the privilege to talk to from the science aspect, the patients aspect. And there's no question my favorite people to talk to selfishly are people like Chelsea, people like me, yourself, that's listening. Listening to the scientists attack our disease is also informative. And we'll have those types of people on in throughout, you know, episodes and let you know what's going on. But we are definitely making a shift with how this is going to look and be and even named. And those are pieces right now that are in the works. Hopefully it'll be released, what this will all look like in February. And I'm excited for it. There's a lot of moving parts happening behind the scenes to kind of help propel this show forward, call it a fresh look or whatever marketing term you want to use. I don't know. But I'm excited for it. It will bring different types of content and a little bit of more of my inner thoughts on things. I think I'm kind of going to unleash a little more of my opinions and thought processes about the disease and coping with life with it. And I hope you continue to listen as the show evolves and changes a little bit. And I hope you're along for the ride on the other side as we venture early in here to 2024. So I'm giving you kind of that heads up that the FSHD Society radio show is changing. I think it's changing for the better. And I really believe it's going to be, I don't know, this is hard for me to put it in like one or two words, but, you know, I feel the best ways to describe it: energy, emotion, impactful, patience, about us. No disrespect, truly, to the other shows that talk about this disease from a scientific standpoint. But with all due respect to the scientists, you don't have it. I do. And I want to bring people in here into this format to talk about those things, laugh about those things, cry maybe, done that here, and kind of put it all out there. And that's what I plan on doing. So I hope you are excited about that as I am. And 2024 is going to be a lot of fun. And I think it's going to be some great episodes, some great guests. And with that, that's my final cry. I need your help. I need your help to fill this docket. I have a lot of guests, you know, in the hopper, so to speak, right now on our reach out list, but add your name to the fold. You know, please email me. I'm all over FSHD Society's site there, but please email me. I'd love to hear what you have to say. FSHDradio@fshdsociety.org is the best way to do it. You can even say that we can follow up with a phone call, text, etc. If you want to be on the show, I'd love to hear from you. So with that, I'll bid you farewell. Thanks for listening to this show, and thanks for being along for the ride. And I'm excited for 2024. I hope you are too. Take care. You've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.